T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This may seem like a really stupid question.
There are no stupid questions.
How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
That's the stupidest question I've ever heard.
They fly them. They put them in a plane.
Is it first class? Is it business class? Are there also people on the plane? Is it a plane just for the horse?
Get off my plane.
Can you travel with the horse?
Pull it off the hatch of it. They should have had Gary Oldman on that horse.
How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race? I'm
on a plane. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
You ever been in a cockpit before? You ever seen a grown man naked?
How the hell?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. New in the afternoons, 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
They fly him over on Air Horse One. Welcome in, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. That was the best text of the week last week.
I think Connor McKnight handles the ribbing pretty well. I hope he's not mad about it. He's been taking a pretty good trimming over those comments last week, that question, as he deserves.
I'll speak for him. He's fine.
Are you sure?
No, I have no idea.
Because you know how guys who wear headphones and tap on keyboards are?
I am.
Some of us, I should say. I shouldn't distance myself from them. Some of us are pretty fragile.
I know. It's my biggest criticism of the industry.
Is it really?
Yes. My single biggest criticism of the industry.
Mine's the absence of talent.
Okay, that's fair. I would actually say sometimes that those things go hand in hand. The inability of, like, people love being critical, and we observe things, we critique, but then if ever the mirror is put up in front of your
face,
no ability to be able to laugh, a little self-deprecation, never hurt anybody every now and again.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to react like defensively about you having an issue with my movie list. I was just wondering what kind of an issue you could have with someone's list of favorites. Because I'm not trying to submit to anybody that these are the 100 most meaningful films. It would be a completely different list if I did that.
I'm just busting your balls. Con Air is going to be on mine.
It should be.
I'm at 36 so far. I'm just going off the
top
of my
head. Did you read the column above it, or did you blitz right past what I spent at least 5 hours crafting?
It took you 5 hours?
Probably.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what the key to good writing is, Parko?
Editing?
Rewriting.
Yeah.
And then rewriting some more.
You're a good writer.
I've worked at it.
Yeah.
I've been trained formally, and you better be good if you spend a lifetime doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're good.
Thank you.
There we go. Compliments.
Thank you.
Appreciation.
Cheeseburger for Parko tonight.
That's how it works. I had one last night. We'll talk about our plans for after the show.
Okay. Shellfish Tower.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Now we're talking.
Now I will cancel some plans. But no, you are known, I would say, for referencing Caddyshack and Slapshot, maybe above all movies that I've heard you reference in my lifetime of listening to you on the radio. So when I see a list of Danny Mac's top 100 movies, frankly, as interested as I am in what number one is, and I'm not going to give it away for people so that they can click on it at 670thescore.com, I am also secondarily interested in which is going to be higher rated, Slapshot or Caddyshack.
Yeah.
And then you put them in at a tie for 12.
It cost me a night's sleep back in December when I put the list together. It didn't really cost me a night's sleep.
It's just the ultimate cop-out. And I kind of like the order too. Goodwill Hunting, Slapshot, Caddyshack, American Beauty. just the range of those four is spectacular.
Well, get to the 90s when I go from Ted to The Godfather. You have Ted ahead of The Godfather? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. No, I do quote those movies because most of the time I'm on a sports radio station. I'd probably, if you listen to me on the drive, for those magical 17 months, you might have heard me quote Almost Famous.
That's a music station, right?
Yes, and it's a musical movie. It's Cameron Crowe, the story of his life.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So that's why you would quote
them. Yeah, but I can work on quoting Shawshank Redemption and The Cider House Rules and some of my favorite pictures more if you'd like me to add that to them. You're not going to know when it happens.
No, I'm not. Spread all fields. I'm just saying that you were able to differentiate between Runaway Train at 58 and The Wolf of Wall Street at 59, but you could not bring yourself to separating Caddyshack and Slapshot.
Yeah, you know the toughest thing, too, when you put together a list like that is not giving too much kudos to more recent films, maybe films that have been made in the last 5 years or so that you might have only seen a couple of times. Now, there's only one movie on my list of favorite 100 that I've only seen once. And it's not a newer film, but I've only seen it once because I'm not a big war picture guy. But if you watch The Pianist starring Adrian Brody and it doesn't do something to you, you might as well just jump in the grave right now because that is a moving picture. Thank you very much, Geddy Lee.
But no desire to rewatch it because of the genre?
It is part of it. I'll watch it again.
Okay.
And again and again and again. But I don't gravitate to war films. Well, as I write in the column, I gravitate toward drug movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. The world of the tweaker always has fascinated me.
You relate to it's what you can relate to, right?
I have consumed some intoxicants in my life.
Yeah, you said you enjoy the guy comedies and guy hijinks.
How many guys don't? Don't many of us really you ask 100 guys, give me your top 10 movies. A lot of them are going to say The Shawshank Redemption.
Yep, Goodfellas.
Men sequestered with other men.
Yeah.
Slapshot, guys on 16-hour bus rides with each other.
Yep.
Those kind of movies.
Goodfellas.
Yes.
The Departed.
Yeah.
Movies like that. Of course, movies that...
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane.
The Departed.
Did that make your list,
I'm not even going to... You sure it did. It's, I think,
Number seven.
Oh, seventh?
Number seven.
It's slipping.
Ahead of L.A. Confidential and behind
Finally
almost,
coming around, Mac.
Behind Almost Famous.
I'm not coming around to anything. You guys need to watch some movies before you were born. Jaws was born. Was made before Shep was born.
Yeah.
See, Shep has such an... Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer... I've said this before, and I stand by it. I'm not being gratuitous when I say this. He knows more about sports than anybody here at The Score. Excepting possibly Grobstein in terms of sports trivia. And in fact, I'd probably
My
bet on
My trivia is
Shep.
Accurate.
Yeah, I'd probably bet on, you know who Bobby Boucher is. I'd probably bet on Shep against anybody.
Against the Grobber?
Even things, you know, Shep will send me a text on January 15th, happy Super Bowl 9. You know, whatever the date is. I don't know what the date is. And he knows as a Steelers guy in the 70s, I'm enjoying the memories of that 16-6 win over the Vikings.
All right, well, Shep, do you think you could beat the Grobber in a sports trivia contest? Because that was a ridiculous statement.
Bobby Boucher.
By Mac.
Depending, like, if it's Chicago-specific or sports-specific, I could beat him in a good number of things, I'm sure. I have no doubt. But if we're, like, going to talk DePaul basketball, then I'm dead.
Well, you want Chicago-specific? Like, what would be a category that you think you could beat him in?
Anything. Probably.
College football.
Yeah, college football.
NFL.
Easily. NFL as a whole. But if it's, like, Bears-specific to the 70s, I'm dead.
I'm not talking jersey numbers either. I'm talking about things that happened on the field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can arrange
We're breaking
this.
Down the Blackhawks of, like, 1974. I'm not going to last too long in that.
We'll get the Grobber on a show in the next week or two. You know, Dog Days of Summer coming up here. Mac and I will make the questions. And I'm back in the Grobber horse. No offense,
okay.
Jeff. I mean, the guy's a machine. He's an almanac.
Yeah, but he's getting old.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't know if what he says is true.
He's probably starting to lose some of his memory. Many people do after they hit 60.
Yeah, I'm not throwing shade at him. He's probably forgotten more about sports trivia than I will ever know. But yeah, I'd like to see that. If you know more about
I'll
sports,
whip his
than
ass right on these airwaves.
I'll whip his ass.
Nice.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, I'm gonna write that down as a future bit for us to do. People saying get Grobstein on now. No, we gotta come up with the trivia
questions. We'll have to do it properly because this show is all about professionalism ish.
Ish. Ish.
Yeah.
Well, I saw you on Facebook say that you're going to the Derby next year. Are we invited?
Sure. Okay. We talked about it on the air last week.
Oh, yes.
You said
I
Stephanie
forgot.
Wants to go. I've already promised Sherry if she's free that weekend, I'm taking her.
Okay.
I've never taken my wife to the Derby. I think 5 or 6 trips. So she's due, and I'm due to take her.
How brutal would it be if it was your first Derby trip this past weekend and it rains the whole time?
Yeah, well, brutal if you don't prepare for it. If you have weather on your phone, you can tell it's going to rain, and you take Gore-Tex and all of the things that you're going to need.
I know, but I mean, part of the Derby appeal is the...
The weather. I know.
The weather
I know.
And the pastels and the hats.
Yes.
And not wearing clear ponchos over your, like, $2,000 dresses that those
yeah.
people are wearing.
Ron Rivera, you know, when I ran into Chico, my guy, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, at the Derby a few years ago, it was a very sunny day.
Nice name drop.
And he looked sparkling in his purple suit. Stephanie, his wife, looked gorgeous, but Ron, you look like a Hispanic Barney. That color doesn't exactly do it for you.
Happy birthday, Chico.
Happy birthday, Chico.
Do you get dressed up when you go to the Derby?
Yeah, I put on a pair of jeans that don't have a hole in them, and I find a golf shirt that's clean.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
That's it.
You see all these people out there with, I don't own red pants.
No, I'm a man of the, I'm in the infield. I've only sat in the grandstands once, and I'll never do it again. It's not worth the investment.
Mm.
I think we paid $400 one time to sit in the grandstands.
Why is it so special?
It's well, you could
just rich people.
You could see the backstretch. I don't mind watching it on television. I've seen a backstretch run now, and
oh,
those
you
are just
the race.
You can see the race. Yeah.
Oh,
those are
I can see why you'd want to pay for that
with no back on them. And when you're orthopedically challenged, as both of us are, that wouldn't be comfortable for 6-8 hours.
No. I hate sitting in a bleacher for an hour.
Yeah, you need a chair with a back on it, or just that's why you take your own chairs and sit in the infield.
Okay, sounds good. But all those pictures that I see of all of the rich white people dressed up in their pastel colors, they're all in the grandstands.
Yeah, but you see some people dressing the part in the infield as well. It's a cross-section of America. It really is. But there are a lot of college-age kids who only have the dough to go in the infield because it's $50 or $60 general admission. So you see a lot of aberrant behavior. And I'm a people watcher, so that appeals to
me. Those I was gonna say, that sounds more like us.
Yeah, porta potty jumping, college girls wrestling in mud. That works.
That sounds more like what I would be interested in. 312-644-6767. I do want to talk to Cubs fans today. We don't normally take a ton of calls on this show, but what are you actually concerned about? What concerns do you think are going to be sustained? Because Mac and I are not too concerned about any big picture things for the Cubs. So I'm interested in what you think are sustainable problems for this team this year. Because when I see people talk about, for example, sending Ian Happ to the minors, I think to myself, okay, maybe. But last year they waited like 200 at-bats for Kyle Schwarber, and we're sitting here on May 8th. I don't think it's necessarily time.
Yeah, what's Happy got? About 108 at-bats, something like that?
He's right about the halfway point of where Schwarber was last year. Now, he's hitting worse against right-handed hitting than Almora is, and Almora is a disaster against right-handed hitting this year. So Ian Happ deserves the criticism that he's getting. He needs to be able to hit right-handed pitching so that Albert Almora doesn't have to play every day. Like, Happ needs to be better than he's been. But I don't think you're sending the guy down there after 100 at-bats. I think some of the criticism is just coming in really hot and way too premature with this baseball team.
Has there been a mixed message from management to the players in terms of their plate approach? What I'm asking is this. When the book of Epstein was written, if you read it, it's all about on-base percentage, making pitchers work deep into counts, be more than ecstatic to take that walk. Mm-hmm. That walk is meaningful. And they're among the bottom feeders in baseball because they're telling the guys, don't be afraid to be aggressive and be a first ball hitter. That's kind of a mixed message.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, they've changed hitting coaches and they changed approach, and now they're definitely trying to see their pitch and hit their pitch. I wonder how many guys are actively, though, not that they're not listening to Chili Davis, but do you really think Chris Bryant is doing anything differently because Chili Davis is there? They've got some guys with some pretty incredible pedigrees that I can't imagine are changing all of that much what they're doing.
I saw the interview with Demonstration Alex Rodriguez with Chris Bryant. I saw it twice last night because they played it, and I watched it a second time. And not once did he mention the Chili Davis. I don't remember hearing him mention Chili Davis. It was like it was all his.
He mentioned his dad twice. His dad is his hitting coach, and he's got the launch angle and all that stuff. And by the way, we can talk about it at some point. A-Rod, that guy takes to television more seamlessly than I think any athlete I've seen make the transition, including Tony Romo. He is just so comfortable on camera, probably because he's lived his entire public life in front of a camera, but he's remarkably good at television.
He's comfortable, but I find him to be colossally disingenuous.
See, I can't even tell
anymore. I think he's sucking up to ball players. I think he's trying to earn favor with the fans by saying nice things about the stars of today. That's how I read it.
Really? See, yep. I can't tell anymore what's real and what's not real with him since he's been in the public eye for forever. So I don't know if he's an Academy Award-winning actor.
Not there yet.
Doing a performance of a baseball analyst.
Yeah.
But when that guy talks hitting, the piece that he did with Pete Rose and Frank Thomas a couple of years ago that went viral on Fox, I'm like, this guy just, he knows hitting, he loves baseball, and he's remarkably comfortable in front of a camera.
I agree with those things. I just don't suspect that he means everything he says, that he's throwing all these flowery adjectives at, last night, the case was Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
He couldn't say enough great things about Chris Bryant.
Well, Chris Bryant deserves the great things to be said to him, right?
It was incessant, though. I mean, it just didn't stop.
I mean, he's not talking about Addison Russell like he's an MVP. He's talking about
Not talking about Mike Trout either.
No, he's talking about a top 10 player in baseball, not the number one best player in baseball.
Also, Mike Trout wasn't on the field.
That's very true.
Kind of last week they were playing the Yankees, so he probably did that night.
I'm sure he did.
Chris Bryant was the best player on the field last night. Yeah, I guess that would be true. We have the profile. If people didn't see it, we can play that for you coming up. But people are coming in with their legitimate Cubs concerns, and we'll ask Glenn Casper about his as well coming up at 3 on the Score.
Now Bryant drives one in the air, deep left field. If it's fair, it's long gone, and that ball is going to be a home run way up in the upper deck. Wow. A missile to left right down the line by Bryant. That's one of the longest he has ever hit. And the Cubs lead 2-1. My goodness.
I'm really enjoying this.
All right, that sounded fake. I will grant you that
little
from A-Rod sounded fake.
Well, I'm really enjoying this.
Many of us have fake laughed a time or two when the red light is on.
Yeah.
I haven't done it in a long time.
Oh, thanks.
Of course, I haven't worked with Harry in a long time either.
I'm really enjoying this.
Even then, I don't think the last few years I did it anymore. Because I became mindful of it. Sometimes it's like you know it when you do it. It's like, I'll never do that again. And a week later, you do it. No more.
Yeah. No need to do the fake laugh. Sometimes a joke flies flat.
Let it hang.
Steer into the skid. I love the awkwardness of radio.
Yes, you do.
Let it hang out there.
I know you do.
Oh, it's the best.
It's one of the reasons.
The A-Rod stuff, though, to me, it's just fascinating. The guy was banned from the sport for a year. He was in total exile from the entire sport.
And he's double shifting.
Now he is the number one studio analyst for Fox during the World Series and the number one analyst on Sunday Night Baseball at ESPN.
And a lot of people don't want Sammy Sosa to run out to right field and wave at everybody and sing, take me out to the ball game just for one day.
It's just a fairly remarkable thing.
It is.
You got to be pretty damn good at baseball or at television and baseball. But really good at television in order to get those jobs. 312-644-6767. What concerns do you have about the Cubs that you find sustainable that are going to be here? Because Mac and I are not panicking, so we want to hear from you on what you're worried about. Let's go to Rick and Niles. Rick, you're on the Score.
Thank you for taking my call. Obviously the players are not playing 100% up to expectation, but my main concern has to do more with the manager, Joe Maddon. I think that he's tinkering with this lineup way too much. He's not just letting players play every day in a set role.
How do you think Joe Maddon did in 2016 when they won the World Series?
I don't remember him. Now, granted, they had a legitimate everyday leadoff hitter in Dexter Fowler. And
you want to take a guess at how many different lineups they had, Rick? 162 games, how many different lineups did they have in 2016? You want to take a guess?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like as much as it is right now. But
130
different lineups.
That's correct.
Yeah, but not at the top of the lineup. I mean, you know, you have Elmore and Baez who are doing very well for, what, 3, 4, 5 days in a row. Then they have a couple off days, and he shakes it up. Why don't you let Elmore and Baez be number one and two every day, like Bob Dernier and Ryan Sandberg back in 84?
Well, the game has changed, Rick, and I appreciate the call, but this is what Joe does. Joe tinkers with lineups.
I look behind me, and Shepkowski's face is in his hands. Oh, Dernier and Sandberg.
I wanted to punch the telephone as soon as he said that.
Well, listen, Almora's...
You want Elmore to play more? Listen, he's fun to have on the show each week. He's hitting like 210 the last 2 weeks. He's not worthy of more playing time. Baez hasn't taken a walk in a month. You want him to be your two-hitter every day?
Yeah, he's got to change that. He started hitting to all fields. That's a step in the right direction. Now be more selective.
You want all these guys to, you got to just keep them in the lineup, keep them in the lineup. You keep them in the lineup, they're not hitting. That's why you're scoring 2 or 3 runs a night.
Almora has an on-base percentage of 300 against righties. With 6 total walks.
Danny, I'd like to go back to DeRocher's lineup in 69. Every day it was Kessinger, Beckert, Banks.
Hey, he wore him out, though, at the end of the year, so you have to flip the lineup.
Excuse me, Williams would hit third, then Banks, then Sano, then Hickman.
It's 2:28 p.m. That's the call for the grobber when we go over the 84 Cubs lineup. Mike in Tinley Park, you're on the score.
How you doing? First of all, just real quick. Dan McNeil, I've been talking to you since 91 when you and Terry opened that place up. So it's great to hear you again.
Thank you, Mike.
I just want to say right now, I think you got to bench Russell. He hasn't hit for a year and a half. Let Baez shift over. And I'm telling you, I know it sounds crazy. I would like to see Tommy La Stella get a shot at leadoff. He makes good contact, switch hitter. He's got a little pop. I just think he'd give him a shot.
You ready to give up on Addison Russell, though, huh?
Yeah, a year and a half's a year and a half, and I would certainly pull Hayward out. But one other thing, if I could, guys, they keep poor Darvish. They give him these complicated game plans. He doesn't even speak English. Bring his catcher up from Iowa and let him throw what he
speaks English.
Good for, and see what happens.
He speaks English.
I think they're trying to give him too much. Let his catcher come up from Iowa and let him pitch.
You know, there's been discussion. Thank you for the call, Mike, and the compliment. There's been a lot of discussion already. Seven starts for Darvish? It didn't take long, did it? Before conversation goes to personal catchers. And the pitching coach, Jim Hickey, has said on these airwaves, it's not his position A to do that.
And Joe snapped at the beat reporters a little bit, and he's like, can you all write this down, please? It's not an issue with the catching. Kyle Hendricks turned in a Cy Young caliber season, largely with Wilson Contreras catching him. Like, Wilson Contreras is going to be the catcher for this team for the next 5 years. He's caught John Lester. He's caught Kyle Hendricks. He's caught some great players. I will be very surprised if the solution ends up being Chris Jimenez and from the minor, I'll be very surprised. Maybe at some point occasionally, but they're all struggling, right? Quintana is not great right now. Darvish is not great right now. Chatwood is not great right now. Why is the only guy who needs the personal catcher? Why is that you, Darvish? He's a $126 million player.
That's why everyone's upset. You got to fix it because it's the most expensive.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, like, he can fix it. He hasn't always had a personal catcher his entire career. Like, he can fix it. It doesn't need to be like there's other problems with starting pitching. And Wilson Contreras is going to play. I was talking about Jose Quintana. 312-644-6767. Tony in Orland Park, what's your Cubs concern?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to touch on what you said earlier. This morning I looked, and the Cubs are 27th out of 30th in walks drawn.
Yep.
And that's just completely way off the charts in what they had the last 2 years. I mean, that's been the hallmark of what you were talking about earlier with Theo, you know, on the on-base percentage, getting good quality at bats, you know, making the pitcher work. And they're not doing that anymore. It's just there's no quality of at bats. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, they're in violation of several of the 10 commandments set forth by the management team. Get on base. make pitchers work, and also they're in the outs prevention business, and they have not. When you see Kyle Schwarber play left field, there's not much out prevention going on there. When you see Javi Baez throwing wildly across the diamond, sometimes after making spectacular stops, that's not run prevention. And this weekend, the right fielder, man, I'm not used to seeing him scuffle. In fact, for about a week and a half now.
No, I know. It's what we saw it in Colorado, Milwaukee, and this weekend. I don't know what's up with him in the field. I'll be honest, that criticism of like the pitches per plate appearance and the walks and the batting approach, to me, and it's all subjective here, but that to me is the one that is the most worthy of observation because they changed hitting coaches. I don't put a ton of credit to the hitting coach. I don't put a ton of blame to the hitting coach. But clearly, we've seen last year in the National Series, the Dodgers Series, 3 years ago in the Mets Series, the Cubs in the playoffs, their all-or-nothing approach when they faced great starting pitching, them be totally overwhelmed in playoff series. And in that Mets Series and the Dodgers Series, obviously not advance. And in the National Series, take a mini miracle for them to advance out of the division series last year. So they identified offensive struggles in the postseason against great pitching. And they, like Theo spoke about it last year, his end of the season press conference. He was like, we got to do a real good self-scouting evaluation of, are we beating up on middle of the road pitching and feasting on it over the course of 162? And then when we face the aces that you see in the playoffs, does our offensive approach translate to that? And obviously good pitching beats good hitting, and they were able to win a World Series in 2016, so they were doing something right. But they, in a year where they were second in the league in runs, decided to fire their hitting coach. So they, I'm hopeful that this is going to be a one step back for like two or three steps forward once this newfangled approach clicks with the really naturally talented hitters that they have. But so far we've seen no evidence of that, and enough guys have gotten worse that I do think that is a very legitimate cause of concern for the Cubs right now.
It occurs to me, and I wish I would have had this thought several hours ago. Maybe we can make it happen tomorrow. This show needs a conversation with Chili Davis.
That'd be great.
We need to get a hold of Chili.
Yeah. He's very, every time he speaks to the media, it's very process oriented and positive. I mean, right, the beat reporters talk to him after fifth game of the season. Not very often that you see a hitting coach holding a impromptu media session five games in. But yeah, it's a really bizarre story. We talked about it at the time. Like, they fired a hitting coach when they were second in the league in runs.
Well, what does that tell you about his relationship with his manager?
Yeah. It tells you all you need to know.
And one of those stud pitchers, by the way, who shut down the Cubs, bad news for Thor over the weekend.
Oh,
whoa,
yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, bad news for a lot of the Mets situations going on over there with Thor and then Matt Harvey.
It's tragic. I know a lot of Cubs fans, those of us who are in the Jurassic Park Club, have no sympathy for the New York Mets after 69.
Mm.
What about 2015?
2015 would be another reason.
Not so Jurassic Park-y.
Just blitzed them. Right.
I remember 2015. You remember 2015?
Vaguely, you know, parts of it.
Yeah. I was able to remember. Man, you're good at trivia. You'll destroy the grobber with your 2015.
He'd be talking about the 69 collapse.
Yeah, your 2015 Cubs knowledge. It's through the roof. We'll keep taking your calls. Len Casper at 3 on the score.
There's so much to like when it comes to talent level for Wilson Contreras. But the one thing and the biggest challenge for any young player is managing emotions.
Well, some of the emotion that you talk about, Alex, and snappiness after the strikeout. If you're going to wing the bat like that, you got to clear the deck first. I mean, that pops back up. You got the manager right there. That's the wrong guy to get with the backswing.
It is dangerous. And the thing you have to think about, if you're John Lester and you see that, what's going through your mind for the next 30 pitches you're going to throw? If you're Hickey, the pitching coach, what are you thinking? And obviously, we know what Joe Maddon is thinking. You want him to neutralize those emotions, because if he does, this guy can be a perennial all-star for a long time.
ESPN with the audio on Wilson Contreras, who is furious with how it's going for him at the plate, and he should be. The audio brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. This segment of McNeil and Parkins, 20 minutes ahead of Len Casper joining the show, brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You have enough things to worry about every day. Insurance shouldn't be one of them. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Eat one if you're scoring. Thor is fine. Syndergaard is fine. It's Jacob DeGrom who had the injury. Hyperextended elbow for the Mets. My mistake on that. I have no problem with my catcher being spirited. as Wilson Contreras is. I want my pitching staff, every damn one of them, to be unflappable. Best adjective for a pitcher. Well, first one is good. Second one, unflappable. I don't care if Wilson Contreras is a bit of a hothead. Do you?
No. I mean, the team. I know the teammates love him for it. Just like, yeah. Because they say, I've talked to enough of them about him that if he can have that energy every day playing by far the toughest physical position on the field, then they feel like they've got no excuse ever to be lollygagging out there.
So, and in terms of fitness level, I don't think there's a guy on the ball club who looks better than he does.
No, I mean, if anything, they've talked to him about scaling it back a little bit when, hey, don't sprint out of the box on a standard 6-3 putout. It's okay. Go 80% down the line so you don't blow out your hammy like you did.
Tell Schwarber that when he's chasing a ball to the warning track. Don't sprint. You're going to blow out a shoe.
But no, Contreras is, as a game caller, it's been a concern for him. We played this stuff last week with Chris Tannehill finding the audio of Kyle Hendricks and the simple hands for Victor Caratini and all of that. So sometimes he's a little bouncy behind the plate, and for pitch framing and stuff like that, he does not get the highest marks. But for base runner control, he's about as good as it gets.
Oh, God, I've never seen a guy better. From throwing from his knees?
Yeah, he's about as good as it gets in the sport. So there's good and bad that comes with him being bouncy and all of that stuff behind the plate. But I can't hit right now.
That's a problem. Yeah, it's the bat.
The bat's the problem.
Maybe he should have broken it rather than just hurl it in the dugout.
Yeah, get a new one. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's broke. Fix it. Russell's not good at the plate. Contreras isn't good at the plate. Rizzo isn't good at the plate. Happ isn't good at the plate. Almora isn't good at the plate right now. Baez is at least hitting for power. He carried the team in some ways.
Yes.
But
what's he have, 9 home runs now?
I think he's at 9 home runs, 8 errors, continue to track that. 9 home runs, 8 errors, 6 walks for Javi Baez. It's just there's so many guys that are struggling that when people talk about lineup construction with Joe, it's like he's got to.
What are you talking about? They're all screwing, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to put it out there. And a texter was saying, well, Danny, I mean, just because they won the World Series doing it that way doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. Now, I understand that, but teams in baseball change their lineup. Like this idea of just, we're trotting the same lineup out there every day, regardless of splits or health or rest or a righty starter or a lefty starter. Most managers change the lineup and tinker with the lineup quite a bit.
They do. I would submit to you your number, which is the number it was, 130 lineup changes 2 years ago, is a tick or two skewed based on pitchers hitting eighth.
That happened. It was, I got it right here on Baseball Reference, 130 total batting orders, 149 if you include pitchers. So they're doing that on position players.
Okay.
In the order.
All right, forget what I just said then.
He always shifts it around a little bit.
He's the smartest guy in the dugout.
Just ask him, he'll tell you.
Maybe in the city.
He's got an explanation for everything that he does. And it doesn't mean that everything that he does is right. Far from it. Obviously, there have been plenty of things to be critical about with Joe Maddon. But just other teams are changing their lineups a lot, too. It's just we focus on the team that we're watching the most. 312-644-6767. Bunky in Park Forest is on the score. What up, Bunk?
Hey, what's up, guys? Danny and Danny. Danny Mack, I know you probably remember me, and we talked a couple of times. I said, you're the White Park Forest Bunky.
Yes.
We got so much in common.
That's
and,
right.
Wish me a belated happy birthday. I mean, the main thing, we're the same age. My birthday was Friday the 4th.
Happy birthday,
so
Bunky.
My 57th, and
good
I know yours
you.
Is coming up in August, and I'm, like to drop names, too. I'm exactly
Bunk,
90 days
thought.
Older. 90 days older than President Obama. But anyway,
I'm
a Sox fan, but I can, Danny, you accept it. Cubs fans drive me crazy. Cubs are going to be fine. They're going to win that division. I work with several Cubs fans that are older than me. That's why I brought up the age. They're in their 60s and 70s, and they just can't stand being the favorites, the team to beat. They're just so used to losing all these years, even after they won the World Series. And it just drives me crazy. Regarding Maddon's lineup changes, I would default to putting the best D on the field. I know you guys are bashing Elmore. He's a superior center fielder, though. I'd play him more often than not.
Listen, I don't know if
all I need to say.
All right, thanks for the call, Bunky, and happy birthday. I don't think it's about bashing Elmore. It's just that they got a 25-man roster. These guys are going to play. if Ian Happ's not going to play ever.
Yeah, he doesn't want guys. He's never wanted guys sitting around collecting dust. He works them out. He's got to keep them fresh. That makes sense. They're young players. They need to hit.
Right.
To
Ian Happ's what, 23 years old? Maybe he turned 24, 23, 24 years old with a 24 home run season under his belt. If he is going to sit every day, then he should be in Iowa.
Right.
But again, those numbers against right-handed pitching are pretty baffling to me. Like, that's where Ian Happ is struggling. Because Almora has struggled against righty since he's been in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Happ's your switch hitter. Joe said it a week ago. It's like Ian Happ is a huge part of what we're going to do against right-handed pitching because Albert Almora has not had consistent success against righties. And somehow, so far this season, Ian Happ is actually worse against righties than Albert Almora. One of the two of them is playing in center field. They both have an OBP of under 300 against righties.
Get what you got on Saturday. You can get Hayward in center field.
Okay.
You have to look at the sun less.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
The lights
away.
Aren't as bad straight away center field.
So that, yeah, okay, you're right. Assuming that Jason Hayward.
He had a nice catch in center on Saturday, too.
He's a good defensive player.
He's when he sees the ball.
When he sees the ball. He's a very good athlete.
Hell of a speech giver, too.
Shep, what concern do you have that you find sustainable?
I think I have some Darvish concern because we have this assumption where he's just going to grow into being what he's been, but we've heard he doesn't know how to pitch with the advanced scouting report that he's had. I think there's legit concern. Your first two batters in the order, because what you've seen so far, Baez hasn't taken a walk in a month. He's not an on-base guy. And is that just a flash in the pan, two great weeks that we saw from him early, or is that going to have staying power from what we saw from him very early on this year? The Almora Happ thing that you've discussed, I think, is legit. Addison Russell, it keeps being offensively at least, take that step, still waiting on that. So I think I don't want to say like legit concern of, oh my God, the National League Central is in jeopardy here, but I think there's legit reason to think that some things aren't maybe as good as you thought they'd be.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's all fair. And because of where the division's at, it's a thing for right now. And just because I don't have a ton of big picture concern doesn't mean you want it to go the same way that it did last year, where they're playing a four-game series against the Brewers in September when they went into it only up two games.
Yeah, I think they took 3 of 4.
Right, and then that was what ultimately put it. But you don't want to be playing stressful series in your division in September.
And maybe this is just me reading too much into words. And during spring training, all the columns are written about everything. I get that. But so much was made of, going to get off to a fresh start, a hot start in 2018. 2017's behind us because of the World Series and everything and the importance of this good start to get off to. And, I mean, it's not a disastrous one. They're still above 500, but you didn't see them take off and play in April and the early part of May like you were kind of told it was how important from some of the leaders on that team, Lester and Rizzo, with those quotes back in March and late February of it, and that you haven't seen them perform that way.
I'm going to pass just a fraction of it off. Not all of it, but some of it off on the awkward start to the year. And I know everybody had it.
Yep.
But for a while, the Cubs played the fewest games in baseball, or they were right there among those teams. It seemed like the Cubs, it's just looking at it from our perspective, the Cubs had as many delays as anyone. Now, I know the White Sox lost an entire weekend, or 3 out of 4 in Minneapolis, but the Cubs had lost a bunch of games, too.
Yeah, we're past
get
the
rhythm going.
Yeah, we should be past the point now, though.
Should be, but those numbers are part of the collective here. Numbers counted.
No question. Just this recent 5-game skid, obviously not in there. But, you know, you're right. The cold weather for the offense was definitely a thing. The postponements was definitely a thing. And, I mean, Shep's right. They all said, everything they said out of spring training was, we're going to hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get out to a fast start. No World Series hangover. No big celebrations in the offseason. And clearly they haven't. Clearly they haven't.
A week ago today, we were jumping about a 5-2 homestand.
Correct.
Yeah. Everybody relax. Get off the ledge if you're on it.
Yeah. I think so, too. It's just the expectations are so high, right? Before opening day, I said, I want them to be a dynasty. I want them to go into the playoffs as the best team in baseball.
Right.
So I'm holding them to that standard, which is why this is annoying as hell.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
You don't get out of bed for 92 wins in a division. You win by 3.5 games. You want to dominate. I get it.
I want them to win the division.
They're
I want
good
them to
enough
win the,
too.
No, I know, which is why I still think they're going to win the division. And then if you win the division and you make the playoffs, okay, you see what happens when the playoffs get here. But, man, I want them to be a dynasty. You can't be a dynasty if you only have one World Series. That's why this is so annoying.
Let me write that down.
Yeah.
Man, you throw these pearls at me every now and again, and I never keep a pen in front of me. Texter is submitting something I didn't even think of.
Okay.
Because we watch him every day. A lot of people don't have that luxury. They have lives. The bad stuff that they saw over the weekend games, if you're just watching yesterday or you're just watching Saturday, that makes it particularly painful.
That's a huge part of it.
Back-to-back walk-off losses? Where were you when Colton Wong hit his dong?
Yeah, to the Cardinals also. National TV, Sunday Night Baseball is a part of it. We overreact to the national TV games, the Cardinal games, opening day.
What time did that game end last night? I didn't make it. I went to bed.
That game was, I mean, it was 5 hours and 45 minutes, including
close
the delay,
to one?
Including the delays. Yeah, close to one.
You stay up with it or did you go to bed?
No, I went to bed. I went to bed after 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I was tired. I was tired.
Should come with me down the street next Monday. We'll make a low tea time together.
Maybe you need to get your levels checked.
I don't know. I was just like, you know, I'll catch the rest in the morning. It's the beauty of afternoons, man.
Oh, you kidding?
Just keep extending the DVR.
I spent another 3 hours on my bad column today, this morning.
Your column was good. Why'd you say it's
bad? It's the list that's bad. I hate my list. Like a fantasy football roster, you walk out of there thinking you won't win 5 games.
Don't be too hard on your list, man. Your list is fine. You just have a tie for 12th, which is makes it not a top 100 list.
And as a texter pointed out, there is a horrible omission.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't have stepbrothers in it. That needs to change. I need to fix that. I can amend that. That's an easy edit.
So does it come in at like 100?
I'll knock something out.
You'll just take something out.
Well, you take out 100 then, right?
You better take out number 100.
Probably. What is 100?
Going to rearrange like 46 and kick it out.
Oh, I can't do that. A friend of mine is in it.
Can't take out Borat. That's 99.
Then your rankings aren't authentic.
You're right. You're right. All right. Lose Billy Peterson. He doesn't return my calls these days anyway. Oh,
wow. 98 is stop or my mom will shoot. Is that right? Take that one out.
You getting big time by Billy Peterson?
Yeah, he hasn't returned my call in a while. Len Casper's going to join us in just a little bit. He wasn't in St. Louis for Sunday night's game, but I'm sure he watched it, and I got some questions for him about Saturday's broadcast.
This previous segment brought to you by the Timeshare Exit Team. If timeshare fees have you buried, get out. Call Timeshare Exit Team at 844-915-EXIT. That's 844-915-EXIT, or visit timeshareexitteam.com. Len Casper will answer our call next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.